So welcome to our NEPT case study call for the month of August 2017. And today we have a special presentation. Our first case anyway is going to be a special presentation that Jan Chamberlain is going to do with Chet Kripalu, Dr. Chet Kripalu. And they worked on this person. This is a joint person that they worked with, and it's related to autism. So she's going to actually present a case to us so that we learn from the case and then we can have a discussion about it. So take it away, Jan, and just tell me when to move forward and I'll move forward.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Let's go ahead and move forward the slide. This is obviously a 38-year-old male with autism level 3, which means that it is severe. And as we're going into this, I just want to quickly just say that this is a fantastic, I feel, example of how we can work with the medical community and also how we can work together as practitioners and why it's so helpful to be able to attend the live events. Because Michelle Gamble will be on afterwards. She has a case as well, and Chet is also coordinating with her because Michelle and I both have daughters with on the autism spectrum. And so as we are learning about each other and learning each other's specialties, we can coordinate. And the other thing that I wanted to mention that I think is really interesting and important is many of you know Chet, some of you don't. She's been in our program for over 2 years. And she actually is a physician. She has been highly educated in India. And not only that, has been working in the United States for over 20 years, doing residencies, etc. And she and her husband both own their own clinic. They own two clinics. They run two clinics. And they are dedicated to working within the mainstream within the insurance model and helping clients because they understand that these are the clients that cannot be helped otherwise. And so what I'd like to do, obviously this case is a little different. This is an exciting case because this person is a father. He has this 38-year-old son, and he is actually willing to spend to go to any length. He has the resources, and he wants to get his son well. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce Dr. Chetana Kripalu, otherwise known as Chet, and let her just tell you a little bit about the case.
Okay, go for it, Chet.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, awesome. All right, so I got this patient, I don't remember how, but somebody referred this kid. I mean, I call him a kid, he's 38 years old, but just because he's autistic, I just, you know, thought, I think of him as my kid. But anyway, so he was referred to me by, you know, one of the actually nurse practitioner who was taking care of him. Her name is Karen, who's been involved in his care ever since he was a child. So his story is, the whole case study is on there, but just to give you a short version of it is that he was, a young boy when, he was given vaccines. And what the, you know, father noticed was when he got one of his immunizations is when, he completely kind of turned over. It's kind of like a typical vaccine-injured child, which I had never seen before, actually. And it was like, wow, you know, this is something new, especially for us in the traditional field. We don't think of it that way anyway. Before I came into functional medicine. But so after his immunizations is when he completely lost speech and, he could not even move and some of the motor functions. And then he even had a huge bundle of like issues with behavioral issues. And he was violent. They couldn't keep him. He used to hurt himself and the people around him. So his father, who was, you know, one of the parents who would not give up, kind of really seeked all the help he could. He is a respiratory therapist in the past. And his wife also, I think, was in the medical field who passed away from cancer, did their best and came across this nurse practitioner who was more holistic, who actually helped them a lot and changed. He was put on all the psychological medications, antipsychotics and bipolar medications, and he got worse and worse and worse because they would not find out what is actually causing all these symptoms. But anyway, so because of these attempts to look at it in a different way, he had huge problem with insulin, cortisol, neurotransmitters, and pretty much everything. So when they got those things sorted out, and kept him, nourished with all the vitamins and nutrients, and then the neurotransmitters too, for the first time in, I think, the last few years is when he started actually having some words he could talk. He was so much calmer. So when I saw him, he had no iota of even violence. The most he does now, he eats pretty good diet, from what the father feeds him, wholesome diet, like, he's still on some grains and everything, but then when he, after they met me, I told him to go gluten free and kind of dairy free, but, much better than a totally different person from what he was before. And so some of the things, I think Jan is going to take you through the details because she's really has done such a great job of, what I didn't have time for. And this is a typical example. She's taken so much of her time and just, such good interviewing with the father, and then got a complete history. So we will see what his, needs still are, and what we can do about it, I guess, as far as testing and resources, trying to put this whole thing together. So that's my version.
Great. Okay,
great. And I think the Chetana hit upon a point that I think is really important. It's the time factor. So often these family practice physicians want to help their patients and they just don't have the time, and they don't have the extra, they haven't done the extra research, etc., because again, the patient load and the time. And this is a great example of how we can help. And this is another reason I put this together as a PowerPoint, because this is how they're used to being presented. And so what we're doing, Chet and I are actually meeting with the nurse practitioner and, of course, the father on a Zoom meeting. And I've already sent these slides on to the dad to work with just a little bit. We're going to add a few more things and then put together as a team a protocol for this young man. So I think this really shows you how we can work with medical professionals. And also, I'd love to invite this nurse practitioner to shine. So without further ado, yeah. And you know what? There are people out here like Chet, that really want to help their patients. And they're absolutely willing and happy to refer them to practitioners like ourselves. So keep an eye open for that as students and as practitioners. Anyway, top concerns. I'm going to go ahead and read through this quickly just so that those who are listening to this on a replay and are only listening to the audio or have visual impairments will be able to see what we're doing. But anyway, he is severe, as Chetana mentioned. His cognition and communication just began 5 years ago. So now he's continuing to improve his verbal abilities, his comprehension. He does still, one of the number one concerns along with this are anxiety, panic attacks, mood swings, and self-abusive behavior. He'll sort of hit his forehead a lot. His left breast will swell to twice the size when he's agitated. The nipple becomes engorged, but the swelling goes down as he calms down. And this has happened ever since he was a baby and started having issues on the autism spectrum, and the next slide will show that. He also suffers from constipation. The anxiety does increase when he is constipated. Probiotics, they've done some probiotics, but again, this shows that gut and brain connection and how we can do some targeted probiotics to help him. He has headaches change with the weather and or anxiety. The day before the storm comes, it's more intense. Once the rain starts, he calms down. There seems to be a barometric pressure correlation here. And then he does have some stimming. His father told me on a scale of 1 to 700, which is what it used to be, and stimming, as you know, are the repetitive motions that oftentimes people on the autism spectrum will engage in. It's down to 40 now. So if we'll go to the next slide.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
Okay, and then this is the history. He's 6'2". He's a big guy, weighs 210, a little bit overweight. And as you can see, it's the most wonderful thing is that the violent tendencies are down because his father told me it was a good day if no one went to the hospital, including himself. He's obviously single. He's not employed, lives with his father. He does spend two nights a week at a group home, and they there's some reason they need to do that that has to do with the insurance and the benefits that they receive there. He was born in 1978, not a C-section, no birth complications. He has two siblings, and they are both neurotypical, a brother and a sister. And as Chet mentioned, both parents did work in the medical field, which is wonderful, and they felt strongly their physiological root causes to his condition. He had frequent ear infections, repeated rounds of antibiotics as an infant. There's a clue there. And again, his behavior was normal until the age of 2.5. But following an MMR vaccine, his dad said he was out in the driveway banging his head on the cement. And after that became nonverbal, self-abusive, and disconnected. So by 2006, at the age of 18, he was too dangerous to be around unless he was heavily sedated. Around 2010, they started doing some, you know, deeper digging. He had high insulin, high cortisol, high adrenaline. And you can see how these could all contribute to this behavior. And, of course, blood sugar imbalance. And so they actually did some high-dose vitamin A therapy with cod liver oil mainly, and they found that the vitamin A from animal fat actually, they had some studies on this, and I'm waiting to get these from the nurse practitioner. We haven't been able to coordinate with her quite yet, but I'm interested to see that. However, you'll see that this is something we need to change around due to his liver panels later on. Cortisol and adrenaline still high at times. His cortisol and glucose will be normal when he goes to bed. But by 7 a.m., his blood sugar has just plummeted and his cortisol is very high. So next slide. And he began neurotransmitter supplementation with some targeted B vitamin compounds. And I have a supplements list here that I'll show you. And they did a good job with this. They did not use the, you know, the folic acid. They used the methyl compounds, the methylfolate and the methylcobalamin. But it didn't appear to make a difference at first until 2012. And his mother actually passed away at that time. She was in a horseback riding accident, so unexpectedly. His father pulled him out of the state-run residential facility and took him on a 30-day hike. And they went to visit his sister in New Orleans. And hiking all day long during this time, all of a sudden he began speaking. So it's very interesting. The neurotransmitter therapy, it looks like, was laying the ground for a lot of the work, but the actual physical motion seemed to be the catalyst, that right, left, cross, crawl, you know, hiking. And his receptive language, they think, is unlimited now. In other words, he can understand pretty much everything, but they're still working on improving, widening his vocabulary. But he's now toileting, bathing, dressing, helping himself to food in the house. No surgeries once, except once for cavities. Appears to have weak tooth enamel. No travels outside the U.S. Only one hospitalization, and this is interesting, but we call this iatrogenic, from receiving the wrong meds at the state-run group home. In antibiotics, not too many times in the past year, 3 to 5 times as an adult, and, of course, as a child, quite a few times, more than 10 at least. And so next slide. So this is what Chetana found when she did the physical exam. Basically, blood pressure is normal, pulse is normal. That's misspelled. I need to fix this slide. That's why these are rough drafts. His, you know, no localizing findings, no tenderness, lungs clear, no masses or lesions, eyes and ears clear. You know, his thyroid's looking good. He is, you know, doesn't have any tension, motor tension, et cetera, is not in acute distress, and your analysis was normal. So actually, you know, you'd see these labs and you'd think, oh, well, he's fine, or the physical exam findings. Okay, next
normal
slide.
Normal tensive, by the way, just so that everybody's clear on the term, means normal blood pressure. So that's
yes,
opposed to hypotension or hypertension. Just, you know, it's not always.
Yes, good point. Okay, allergies, toxic exposure. So they have been giving him a fluoride anti-cavity rinse for weak tooth enamel two times a day. So, you know, that was the first thing that we looked at. Antibiotics, of course. He doesn't do alcohol, caffeine, doesn't smoke, no mercury amalgam fillings. So that's nice there. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have any mercury in his system, but certainly not that source. There may be some mold in the home. They're going to be checking on that. EMF exposure, yes. Wi-Fi, he does spend a lot of time on his iPad, but they don't live near high power lines. They don't have a smart meter. And he does have some allergies to animals, grasses, and pollens, but they're very few, and he is allergic to bee stings. So next slide. And this is basically a day program that's created by his father. So when his father took him out, he created his own program, which includes hiking and walking. He saw the benefit of that. But as you can see, this is what he's feeding him in the morning because he feels like his son needs the sugar to boost his glucose levels. So obviously that's something that we're working on adjusting. But he was giving him orange juice and an apple and a Kind bar and this type of thing in the morning. He's learning some jobs skills. They're hoping to get him a little job cleaning tables at the local restaurant. As I mentioned, he works on the iPad with games and cognitive things. They hire students actually from the local university who are working on nursing degrees to come in to do these hikes with him, to work on him with speech. They have this board maker system to help him learn to read. He's just now learning to read. Another thing they do is acupressure 6 days a week, and that has increased his cognition. He said better than anywhere except for the speech pathologist has also been helpful too. His diet, his dad is really very good. He does eat a whole foods diet, an organic diet. He doesn't do sugar. And that's the only thing is it's difficult to control those two nights a week at the group home. So we're working on that. They do play classical music in the home. They limit the type of music environment that he listens to make sure that it is something uplifting. And then he, again, the two nights a week at the group home. So if you want to move forward with the slide. And then this is the support team. Basically, this is Dr. Chitana, his family practice physician, nurse practitioner, functional nutrition coach, that's me, acupressure practitioners, and then students from the university. So go ahead, next slide. And then sleep habits. This was something that we really needed to know, especially about the cortisol levels. He does fall asleep easily, but he will wake in the middle of the night. He does will occasionally go to the bathroom, but he does go back to sleep. He does wake up. He sleeps for 8 hours, so wakes up too early. No, he does not sleepwalk. He does snore a little bit. I'm looking for sleep apnea, other kind of disturbances, but that doesn't seem to be much of an issue. They did say with the neti pot, he's using a neti pot now and upping the exercise, he stopped snoring as much. And they also, once the dairy was removed on that. So that's what that dairy slide means. And doesn't bed wet. Good. Okay, so here's the interest, exercise, hiking, outdoors, brain games on the iPad, loves to ride in cars. So he's very good with that as far as cooperative. And then this is one of the things I asked was about, of course, hydration. And he does drink lots of water, but his dad says he urinates nonstop. Well, when he does start to urinate, he says there's a lot of flow. So that's an interesting thing. And we see this in glucose dysregulation a lot of times. There's this large urine output. And he does have a gluten-free, casein-free diet 90% of the time, no sugar refined foods. Again, low mold, yeast, artificial flavors. His dad is very, very good as far as the diet goes. He doesn't give him fruit after 7 p.m. at night. They're giving him this hard-boiled egg with a serving of nuts, to prevent low blood sugar while sleeping at home, a fresh salad every day from the garden. But according to his father, he does crave food nonstop. And again, that speaks to some blood sugar dysregulation. He would eat all the unhealthy foods he could get if they were available. Gas and bloating, he does not have. As dad says, a lot of times we see with these kids, they'll be leaning over the couch. They have a lot of stomach issues, putting pressure on the stomach, a lot of flatulence, a lot of malodorous gas. But his father says that that doesn't seem to be much of an issue for him. So next slide. And then some interventions they've already done, we've talked about this, that have been effective for him, the diet, the hiking, yoga. They have a student come in that does yoga with him. They do deep breathing exercises with him, acupressure, the neti pots, the neurotransmitter supplements, the Travacor, the TMG, the trimethylglycine. It's pretty much assumed that he does have an MTHFR defect. Almost all of these kids on the spectrum, you can pretty much assume that they're not methylating properly. You can, of course, test, but that's a good place to start if they can't afford that, and then the vitamin A therapy. So that's been effective so far. Medication that he's on, only right now they have him on Abilify 5 milligrams daily, once a day at night for anxiety. As needed, of course, they have these things, and this is basically what the group home has on his meds chart that they will give him. But otherwise, he's not taking any medications and hopefully rarely needs these. Okay, next. And the supplements, they've got him on the vitamin C from Pure Encapsulation, some basic minerals, some Calm for the magnesium, the glycine, the taurine, the Norwegian cod liver oil, the Pro Omega, probiotics. They've got him on some good strains. I'd like to see him really more, I'd like to get more bifidus in him and higher amounts to front load vitamin D, 4,000 IU, and we'll look at his labs in a minute. And then the B vitamins, the Travacor from Neuroscience, et cetera. I would like to do as Dr. Rita Marie does, and over time actually separate these out so that rather than a supplement that has a lot of different things in so that you can't really test the variables, see which pieces are working and not working the whole time, if that makes sense. And the phosphatidylcholine from Source Naturals, and then the magnesium citrate from Life Extension. Okay, next.
Whoops, is that 6 micrograms of methylcobalamin? Is that true?
I believe that is. There's not a whole lot in that particular one.
Yeah. And is he getting any other? Okay, got it.
Yeah, he's getting the 30 micrograms there in the Travacor as well. So, but it'll be interesting when we look at his labs.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay, and here are his lab findings. So he had IgG, IgA high for Candida. His growth hormone, these are just the abnormal ones, is low. The reason I'm looking at the creatine kinase, these are often elevated in children with autism and often and in individuals with autism and often in mitochondrial issues. But this was actually in the low normal range. So these are some of the things we're looking at. Prolactin was fairly low. I'm looking at that because of the engorged nipple, the discharge, etc. Here's some liver readings, though. His ALT is high, 95. The reference is 54, 47. The reference is 2 to 44. And his ratio also is high, and that can be indicative of mitochondrial issues. His white blood count's low. His myocytes are high, so we're looking at some inflammation. His C-reactive protein, and I need to that's on a different lab sheet, but when we put it through the C-reactive protein is like through the roof. So it's very high. We're seeing a lot of inflammation on that. And then the total iron binding capacity is high. Oh, and I skipped the atypical lymphs, but the eosinophils are quite high also, 6.1. So again, this could be food allergies, also could be parasites. And so really want to get a good stool culture on him. Transference high. Mercury seems to have normal serum blood levels. They did do that. I'd like to see a hair testing to compare. Vitamin A is high. So that's another thing, again, because he's been doing the supplementation. The cholesterol is actually low. So next slide. These are his neurotransmitter labs. Now, these are urine labs, and there is some controversy. I got this from the nurse practitioner, and this is what she used to basically gauge his progress as she was giving him these B vitamins. And so, as you can see, it's sort of like an amino acids lab. You've got the taurine, the glycine. You're seeing what's coming out and the different ranges. There is, I have to say that there is a controversy as to how indicative what's coming out in the urine correlates to what's in the brain. But, I mean, this still is the best thing that we have out there right now. so far to just kind of measure. But as you can see, at least the urine, the levels in the urine had moved to normal. And he is speaking. So we're getting some progress going. So
can I just say something real quick about that?
Yes.
You know, about
yes.
the controversy. Yeah, the controversy is there as to how well these work as in just as a starting point. It really doesn't correlate. But once you start amino acid therapy, then you can use the neurotransmitter testing to test the progress. So, for example, you're really wanting to go on symptomatology. You can go on amino acid levels, B vitamin levels at the beginning before you set up a program. But from there, because it's really not that indicative, but once you're putting stuff in and you're seeing amounts that are shifting, then those can be much more valid to track the progress. So this can be really good progress. It looks like good progress. But not all of them have been tested again.
Or yes, and it gives you some markers. Like you said, it gives you some markers to work with.
Something to work from, yep.
Yes. Okay, next slide. Okay, so again, these are just some considerations to look at. I just basically, this is an educational slide so that the nurse practitioners can see and the others can see sort of what we're looking for. Again, the lower levels of bifido as opposed to the lactobacillus. Again, the autoantibodies to the folate receptor. So again, we're looking at folate levels, B vitamin levels. And if they're able to sulfate normally, detoxify, etc. Also Clostridia. And that's the other thing. You know, you find that there's a lot higher incidence of Clostridia. And what Clostridia will do is it actually affects the conversion of dopamine to the norepinephrine. And so you have this dopamine at high levels that's extremely toxic to the brain. And it's just not being converted. So that's another reason an oat test is nice to see and basically get an idea if you're seeing the HPHPA, which is the chemical that's produced by the Clostridia, and also any kind of pathogenic bacterial overgrowth. So, okay, next slide. And again, these are some areas that we can explore. This is a remarkable case because, again, we do sort of have carte blanche to work with this client. And so we can really, you know, sensibly do some things, other things, but we want to have a protocol where we're going and we're taking one step at a time. But again, leaving no stone unturned. So we do want to look for some mitochondrial dysfunction. A lot of times people on the spectrum will have the poor muscle tone, oxidative stress markers. Again, we saw the biomarkers with the liver. And, of course, we could do some genetic testing as well for him. So next slide. And again, more areas to explore. This is just sort of the same thing. We want to look at oxalates. I'd like to see that on his oat test too. And because this can affect cognition and mood and also, you know, any physical symptoms. He did not seem to have, you know, the dark circles, the red cheeks, the incontinence, the eczema that we'll see a lot of times when people have the phenol intolerances to food. So really what we're doing right now is just exploring some of these other avenues. But we look at, you know, salicylates, the amines, the glutamates. We can look at those down the road as well in the diet that he's eating. So next slide. And then these are, of course, Dr. Rita Marie's generalized recommendations. This is a teaching slide that I'm using, and you'll recognize this slide. Basically everything from avoiding the high-carb breakfast, stabilizing his blood sugar, down to plenty of pure water and rebalancing the gut microbiome, etc. So moving on. And then these are some specific recommendations that we started out with as we looked at this, Chet and I. We're going to continue with what's working right now till we get some more labs. We want to increase the dosage of his vitamin D. His D was low on the labs, and so we want to increase that. Start off with 6,000 a day, and then they're a little skittish about working with the D. I mean, I feel like he can go up to 10 and 20, but we just want to take it a bit at a time because he is sensitive. I am assuming that he probably also has the VDR gene, but again, we haven't tested for that. And combining that perhaps with K2 for increased absorption. And then we're going to reduce the vitamin A with the correlation with the elevated liver markers and controlling this insulin and glucose. So he's doing the magnesium right now. We can up that to bowel tolerance. We can add some DHA, doing the chromium polynicotinate. Versus the vitamin A. So we're going to reduce that and up these other cofactors here. Replaces fluoride treatment with coconut oil swishing, neem oil, etc. I gave them some references on how fluoride can be an endocrine disruptor. And that's another thing. Remember, we had the swelling in the left breast with the anxiety, the agitation. We'd really like to see a Dutch panel on him and look at the comprehensive hormones as well. So we want to go with 100% gluten-free, casein-free, and I've been working with the dad on some ideas, things to pack to take along with him to the group home on those evenings, and to make sure that he stays on his diet. I asked him if he thought that his son would tolerate having his blood sugar levels taken with the meter, using a blood glucose meter, and he said he thought that he would think that was a great game. So they're now instituting that, and we're going to be monitoring his blood sugar levels. Again, identifying these gut pathogens and ruling out the Clostridia, taking a look, seeing if we're looking at food allergies, food sensitivities, or actual parasites on the eosinophils and the oat test, and then addressing the candida with a probiotic. However, I'm really wanting to start him on this bifido bacteria from Custom Probiotics. Steph has been doing that with her Friendly Flora community, and I've been participating in that kind of as a study with her. It's amazing when we're actually just starting them out with that 5-strain bifidobacteria from Custom Probiotics. And yes, it's expensive, but you can take just one scoop as a starter and you can make, oh golly, you can make, you know, literally almost 100 doses from that one scoop. So he can really, and that's where we come in, being able to educate our clients as to, so if you have somebody that says, gosh, you know, $100 for a bottle of probiotics, I'm not sure I can swing that. You just show them how they take a scoop of that in a liter of coconut water, pure coconut water, and that's it. And you know, ferment that overnight, and that bacteria will multiply. So it makes it very cost effective. But anyway, so we really want to increase these probiotics to 100 billion. It takes 100 billion for the bifidus to proliferate. That's the minimum dosage you start out with. And so, again, you know, you kind of want to make sure you're going low and slow, that your clients are not saying, oh, you told me to increase this. I'm taking 50 billion. I increased it to 100 and now I have, you know, this or that. But again, this is something they can build up. And once we're finding once we get this bifido in them, they're really becoming quite a lot more tolerant to things. And then we work them up and add some extra strains. So we're basically replacing the probiotics that he's now taking and just starting with the bifidus. And that also, sometimes we find that if they're on a good diet and they're not eating the sugar, they're eating the whole foods and regulating their blood sugar, that can actually help to crowd out the candida. So again, one step at a time. Epsom salt baths, again, the magnesium sulfate for the impaired sulfation. See how he tolerates that. A lot of people on the spectrum, they find that that's a great, great help for a meltdown. It really helps to calm them down, especially at night. You can put some essential oils in their lavender. Add the sauna to his detox day program. Because you have the impaired detoxification, sauna is a great place to start with, starting low, short sessions, and dry skin brushing before. Again, if he'll tolerate that, and then, of course, the shower afterwards. So next slide.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in there on the bifidus. I think that, you know, it's a great, great stuff you're talking about. And when you look at those bifidus, it seems like it's expensive because they only sell a certain size of jar. But when you look at how much is in each of those scoops,
yeah,
it's way more cost effective than any other probiotic on the market, really, because it's very concentrated. And it doesn't take much to get to 100 billion in terms of, if you want to go lower than 100 billion, you got to take little teeny tiny doses. So it really is a very cost-effective way. And your approach to doing it in the coconut water to make it multiply, right, or making a cashew coconut yogurt or hemp yogurt or whatever else you want to make, or even with sauerkraut and putting it in the sauerkraut and allowing it to ferment within the sauerkraut, you then increase the doses so well, assuming the person tolerates those foods. So thank you.
Exactly. Yes. And I calculated it's about $2 a scoop. And Cynthia's asking a question. Do you ferment overnight in the, let me see if I can pull it up, on the counter or under refrigeration? That is a great question, Cynthia, because once you refrigerate it, it's going to stop the bacteria from proliferating. So I do mine in my dehydrator. You do it about 96 degrees. I prefer the coconut water simply because it's a controlled environment. When yeah. you start putting it in the sauerkraut, yeah. you're going to get all kinds of different bacteria, which some people tolerate really well. It's a great idea. But really, when we're starting, these folks, we just want to start with as few variables possible. Yeah. And I think maybe I mentioned this, but I calculated it's about $2 a scoop. There are 50 scoops. Each scoop is at least 100 billion. I think they're 250 to 300.
I think they're 250 to 300. Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on the probiotic. Right. And you can even buy a single strain.
I'm going to chime in there and do some math here, right? So if you're getting $2 a scoop, for I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 billion per scoop. That's probably the equivalent of a like 10 of the dose, the kind of 25 milligram, 25 billion is considered a high dose probiotic. That's 10 of those capsules for $2, right?
Because every half hour, the bacteria double. You have to remember that too. So you're doubling this bacteria, but then by the time you put it down in the quarter cup servings, it takes about a quarter cup, you know, with another liter of coconut water. But with that one scoop, that $2 scoop, you can get, oh my word, you can get a month's worth easy.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I think it's the best deal around, personally.
It is. Yes. And also you get the surface area coverage, yes. The probiotic powder, in the coconut water, just a quarter cup of that. We actually will start people with like a tablespoon, you know, and then kind of work up. To the quart, because that's a lot. I mean, even at a tablespoon, you're going to have at least 100 billion, probably 250 billion. But it covers the surface area because remember, you have a microbiome in your mouth. You have a microbiome going all the way down. And then the other one, and you talked about this on the last case study call, so we won't go into it in depth, but if you find that people are not tolerating that, you can certainly make suppositories, and you can get them in the other way. So lots to do with probiotics. It's so exciting. And there's even more. So we'll go through this, but I want to show you some other research that I'm really excited about. So mind-body therapies, these are all amazing things. You can look at these slides afterwards, but the acupressure treatments are working well. And I suggested that they use the essential oils in conjunction with that. He really relaxes when he's on the table. He loves the acupressure. Mm. And it has stopped his stimming. Like I said, it's taken it down from 700 to 40. So if they use, say, lavender in conjunction with the acupressure, then when he smells lavender later, say they're out and about and the dad has some lavender, you know, in his pocket and his son starts to get agitated, he can just pull that out and that will elicit the same relaxation and pleasure. So neurofeedback, some neat things on what they're doing with neurofeedback, because a lot of these kids, they just are kind of like a raw nerve. They are very sensitive. The processing, it's, as I mentioned yesterday or Monday, it's just like if you woke up in the middle of the night and somebody was shining a halogen light in your eyes. They're overstimulated constantly. Mm-hmm. And this is where a lot of the stimming and hand clapping comes from. And so they're finding that, that neurofeedback, the autism and sensory processing disorder summit had quite a few speakers. And I'm going to be adding those to these slides as well. And you'll see these slides again at Shine and in your Shine packet. And also, just so you know, this is how Chet connected with me last year at Shine. I did a brief overview on autism, and those are in your Shine slides from 2016. So you can see those as well. And then also other programs here, you see I've mentioned Michelle and her Heart Songs program, music therapy. You know, any approach, it's a whole mind body, just as we would with any client, but especially on the autism spectrum. Yeah. And light therapy for melatonin regulations. So these are further lab tests. You can go ahead. Thank you. Thyroid markers. We really need to see some thyroid markers, interestingly enough, because when I ran this through his blood chemistry software, the out-of-range reports that it was showing has his thyroid as one of the things to investigate. His C-reactive protein was high. We mentioned his liver markers were high. And the glucose was high. Yes, some kidney markers. The bun, we had some issues with his bun. And so we want to see a good thyroid panel because he's actually, we're looking at some hypothyroidism as well as the insulin resistance and maybe even an anterior pituitary resistance to cortisol. This blood chemistry software is worth its weight in gold and it will tell you exactly why and where you need to look, what you need to look at. This was all, again, because of his glucose, which was 90, his glucose was 92. And so that in the blood chemistry software was high. His alk-phos was low. And so we can look for zinc deficiency, and that's something that Chitana can do there. Also, pyrroles, I'd like to see, again, anytime I hear anxiety, I'm looking for pyroluria. A lot of time we see that people are making these pyrroles, and zinc B6 therapy has worked really well as far as helping with pyroluria. There's a lot from the Walsh Institute on that. I want to look at his plasma cysteine to sulfate ratio for impaired sulfation. I'm pretty much suspecting he has that because so many of the people on the spectrum have that impaired sulfation. Blood spot fatty acid testing, we just want to see where his fats are. And, of course, the Dutch test, which Chitana also has and is going to be doing for him. And then we'd like to get an oat test as well. Great. Okay, and then genetic testing down the road if the dad wants to go ahead and do that. Or like I say, a lot of times you can pretty much assume, do everything else and save that for the end, or you can start with that. So next slide. So for further exploration, these are some things that are in the future. I just put this out here because I wanted you to be aware of them. The Amen clinics do actual brain imaging, so you can see which areas of the brain work and are not working. And, you know, it's still pretty much, it's not spot on, it's not 100%, but it's further information, right? I looked into these stem cell transplants. They're $20,000 right now, and they do them down in Mexico. They use the client's own stem cells, but they are reporting some success. I'd want to wait until they get a lot less expensive and there are a lot more studies. I'm always show me the study, right? The fecal microbial transplants, again, we're watching that and seeing what's happened. A big variable is where is the source coming from, and do you have a good specimen and the optimal specimen that it's coming from. But I have a personal friend who's had this done and had Clostridia, and actually it was gone after two treatments. And this was, you know, something that she did at home. Again, this is not a study. It's not for the record, but you need to know that some of these things are working for people. So we just need to study it more. The correlation between the propionic acid and butyrates, that's something, you know, we talk about, Donna Gates talks about, that would be something interesting to study as well. Sid Baker is doing some very interesting things with what he calls HDCs and Hellman therapy. It's rather controversial, but basically what these are, he went to Africa and found that indigenous cultures he studied their poop. You look at Dr. Weston Price, he went to indigenous cultures and he studied what they ate. And his conclusion was, well, it's because they eat all of these animal products. Well, Sid Baker says, I'm going to look at the other end. I'm going to look at their poop. And he found that they are teeming with bacteria, but the right kind of bacteria. These are people who are have amazing immune systems and are in absolutely optimal health. And what is he finding? He's finding an amazing microbiome there. So it's all coming back to that gut microbiome. And the helminth therapy are actually, they're little protozoas that he grows. They actually eat pathogenic bacteria. They live for about a week. You can learn more about it on the website. So but I would love to explore this more in depth to see the studies. Again, you know, that's what we need to see, the pros, the cons. You always look at the risk factor and the gains. For instance, upping magnesium, low risk factor, high gains, right? But some of these, again, the THCs in the medical cannabis, I see video, there's actually, you know, some videos and some different things that are going around as far as helping with autism, especially those who have violent outbursts. So these are just some things, and Dr. Rita Marie, you may want to chime in here as well.
Yep, these are great. You're like looking at all angles here, and it's really, I think I like that perspective of here's what we're seeing, here's what further testing, and here, you know, down the road, these are some things to explore, but some of these things are, you know, $20,000, they're controversial, they may be difficult to get. Let's get all the basic stuff handled, and he still needs to get blood sugar balancing, right? The nutrients, the micronutrients, right. The zinc copper ratios, the zinc B6, are there any things there? So we work on the stuff we know, and then a lot of people just go, they're still feeding the kids the standard American diet, but they're going to go do stem cell transplants, or they're going to do...
Exactly.
Right, and it's really important, and that we stick with it, and just seeing how some simple things you've done with this guy, or that his father's done with the guy, is made so much difference, and it's very exciting, and it's not one thing ever. Right? It's just, this is what you've explained here. It's not just one thing. And when you have people who come in and they want that one magic pill, it's because they've been duped by the pharmaceutical companies and the, you know, the standard Western medical system to think, oh yeah, there's a pill for that. Right? And this is showing how comprehensively, and I'm just in awe at how you've looked at this and how you've looked at every single little thing and explaining what your thoughts are. I'm just so excited by the progress. I mean, what, like your level of expertise at this point. I'm just in awe.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I, as a mother, I am passionate about this. Yeah. And all of you mothers out there, you know, we are passionate. And so I've been attending these conferences, listening to speakers, listening to summits, taking notes, and just really doing some digging. And I'm excited to see this, you know, play out. So it will be fun.
Absolutely. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, and then these are just some references, resources, and I'll be updating those. But this is Sid Baker. He's at Autism Research Institute. He says, you know, he finds Elizabeth Mumper, actually, she was trained by him, but she did a thing on cell danger response, and she actually feels like he turned around her own family member and really kept that child from being on the autism spectrum. And Ben Lynch, as you know, will say that a lot of the research that he's done, you know, with his boys and himself has kept him, kept him neurotypical. So, you know, this really, we know how much of our serotonin is manufactured in the gut, that it's the CE cells there. And even their relationship, you know, it's so interesting too, because spore-forming bacteria and candida, you know, can actually be in that class. We need a little bit of candida to make serotonin.
Yeah.
We don't really want to wipe it all out, right? We want that balance. And that, to me, is what I find fascinating, is really getting the balance, getting the right recipe.
Everything is about balance. The whole, everything that we do is about balance. And it's really nice to have that, this broad perspective of seeing something pretty serious, and to see somebody who's been not just a little 5-year-old who's been autistic and turns it around, but 38, right? This is a long time. These imbalances have been going on for a very long time. And
yes.
I'm very impressed with how this is playing out and how much you've gotten from. I did take a couple of notes, and I'm sorry, there's somebody vacuum cleaning in another room. But I mentioned a couple of things that I wanted you to just, that didn't slip by me was one that you said he's on a low fat diet. And that, you know, I don't look at that because, you know, you said do a fatty acid test, but fat's super important for anything brain. So low fat diets say to me a red flag.
Well, also for hormones too. And hormones. I don't believe hopefully I didn't say, I mean, I'm not sure that I meant to imply that. But he is on the whole grain, and his dad might have said low fat, because that is a good point. I will bring that up, because cholesterol also is the building block of all of these reproductive hormones, right?
Right. And I mean, we don't need to eat cholesterol, but we need to provide enough fat as a building block, because cholesterol is not one of the ones that we need to have, like the omega-3, 6, the linoleic and alpha linolenic, but the body can make it, right?
Yes.
So we want to be able to provide enough fat as building blocks and enough phospholipids as building blocks. And we see a lot of kids on the autistic spectrum are low in phospholipids, and that provides the whole lining and the support of the brain chemistry. So
that's excellent. Yeah, I'll make a note of that. His cholesterol, total cholesterol is 149. The optimal range is 160 to 180 from our blood chemistry software. So his cholesterol is low.
Yeah, his HDL was the one
not metabolized.
So it's not, but it's not like red flag low. Like if you said it was 110 or 20, then it's a red flag low. Well, but I have seen situations. I was at a conference, I don't know how long ago, 12 years ago, and they're actually experimenting with supplementing some of these kids with these kinds of disorders with cholesterol. So, you know, I'm not necessarily sure I haven't researched that enough to know if I'd be happy with that. But I know that low fat, you just have to watch that they have enough fatty building blocks, and also helping his metabolism to be efficient at burning fat for fuel instead of glucose for fuel, because the kid's craving, he's got blood sugar imbalances. They're feeding him a lot of sugar, even though he's not eating sugar, with the orange juice and the stuff in the morning. And, you know, really retraining that to have a higher fat, moderate protein, high fiber breakfast can make a huge, huge difference in the stability of the day.
Yes, that's great. Thank you for that input. And any other input you have is amazing. There's a question from Cynthia. She asked if there was a test done for gluten sensitivity, because she says Tom O'Brien talks about elevated liver enzymes being a key sign of gluten sensitivity. And no, they have not tested for gluten sensitivity, but he has been on this gluten-free, casein-free diet. Although, like I said, we're not
100%, sure. Right? So even if they somehow experiment with keeping him, well, the 30 days he was away with his dad, hopefully that was a gluten-free, it may not have been though, dad might have been not as educated at that point, but I think that really picking a 30-day period to get this guy, you know, doing like a metabolic reset, really, one of our metabolic resets is really it's gluten-free, dairy-free, it's all the allergy-free, any other allergies he's low in, and then just the super high fiber low glycemic foods with really good fats. And exactly. That might be a great experiment for them.
And that can be, you know, they can even gamify that. I love to do that with people on the spectrum, because even if they're not children, quite often, you know, we'll have like this individual here where his mental age currently is maybe around 5, 6, you know, he's just sort of learning to read and communicate, loves to play games and watch Toy Story on his iPad. So again, you know, he can earn points every time that they take his blood, you know, he takes his test, his blood glucose. You could certainly put together.
Gamify it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The other thing I noticed was the chromium levels you had him on, or his dad had him on, were lower than I would think would be ideal. And I would encourage you to look at chromium at every meal and at bedtime. Well, maybe not at bedtime, because he might go into a low. But the reason he's going into a low sugar is because he's eating high carb that leads to that, is my guess, because of the insulin levels. When you have that high of an insulin level, it's going to just drop the sugars down very quickly. And that's the thing you need to be stabilizing. And then vitamin C could probably use to be just increased up to bowel tolerance, especially if you have constipation.
Yeah, part of the metabolic reset is, you know, is the magnesium, the DHA, and the chromium that we use in the sweet spot solution. And so basically taking him through that with those particular supplements at every meal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Good. I think you'll see a difference there as well. So that's where we're starting. As you mentioned, you start with the basics, the foundation, make sure all of those building blocks are in place before jumping to some of these,
Yeah. Yes. Whereas if you could afford it and it had the good research, there's two different, you know, criteria there, right? It's so expensive. If it was $100 and it wasn't as well tested and you go, well, I blow $100, it doesn't work. It's no big deal. But the other thing is it's 20,000. So if you blow 20,000 and it doesn't work, boy, that's huge, huge, huge dent. So the criteria, I love that you presented the criteria for evaluating an intervention, right? The safety, the efficacy, the downside, the potential gains, right? Risk-reward ratio. And it's a really good criteria for looking at anything that we do with our clients, right?
Yes, exactly. And then, you know, also the retesting too. You know, if you're doing the oat test, then one of them, and this was William Shaw from the Great Plains Lab, he mentioned that he actually is one of the few labs that runs an autism panel. And so he's actually testing for some of these things like creatine kinase, and I believe that's one, and of course Clostridia and some of these other variables. And he actually recommends testing if you're not seeing an improvement, then retesting again, or if you're not seeing an improvement or things get worse, then retesting again and seeing kind of what's going on and getting another snapshot. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's a good approach. But I think, you know, I'll just kind of, to be contrary to that, I like that approach and it would extend it. So as long as they're improving, but sometimes because somebody's taking so many supplements and it's very expensive and unwieldy, it's really hard to get autistic and spectrum kids to take supplements, as you know, is that you want to, you know, maybe if at 3 months they're not improving or they've gotten worse, then you definitely want to redo it. So you go 6 months, and if they're, you know, if they're continuing to improve, then you can go longer. But if they've stabilized, plateaued, then I would retest, because you don't want to go beyond that point of no return where you can go into throwing things out of balance.
Right.
Excessive supplementation. Right. And again, it's always the cost effect, the cost issue and the convenience issue. So before anybody starts to take things away, I always like to be careful. Or you have to have a very carefully thought out plan for, okay, they plateaued. We got this great result. We looks like we're plateaued for three to four months. We're not going to get any further. If you don't want to retest, then I would like start backing off on some of the supplements that were indicated by the test in very tiny amounts, right? So if you're on CoQ10, for example, because the test showed that they needed it, if you back off to 75% of the dose on the CoQ10, then they stay the same, and you need to do it for a long enough period of time before you back off further. Then you go, okay, well, we're good at that level. You can then back it off further. So it's, I think, cost-wise, a lot of people don't want to do the test cost-wise. But when you think about the amount of money people are spending on some of these supplement regimes, right? And it could, you know, they could pay for the test by saving 2 months of supplementation or even a month of supplementation in some cases. So again, it's balancing it all out as to what to do. But the thing you want to caution against is that you get somebody on a program, you get them up to speed, and then you decide that they've been on it for 6 months and they're doing well. So you just, you know, let them go, let them get lax on all those supplements, and that those supplements might be what's keeping them there. And they may need these for the rest of their life due to the genetics and the early, you know.
Right. Yeah. If they have a relapse, definitely, you know,
we want to avoid relapse. That's my thing, right? Because I see it all the time. People come in, I went, oh, I've been doing this adrenal test 3 years ago and I did it with the doctor. I got better. And then what'd you do? Well, what did the retest show? Well, we didn't do a retest. Well, why are you here? Because I don't feel good anymore, right? Well, how long did you take it? Well, 3 months. Then what'd you do? Just stopped, right? And you may maintain it for a little while, but then it starts to deteriorate. And the last thing I want to see is I don't want to base my treatment or the next step on them having a relapse. I want to avoid relapse at all costs, right? That's where I think the testing intervention. I'm almost a fan of don't do the initial testing. Do the stuff based on what you're doing, like you're doing it. Maybe he does have an oxalate sensitivity. Okay, do a 3-week trial of low oxalate, right? and test that out rather than spending a lot of money. But I'm a big fan of the retest even more so than the first test, because it gives us an idea of where we're going. And, you know, people want to just dump the supplements. Okay, I'm done, right? No, that's not how it works. This isn't a pill that now that the injury is healed, you don't need the anti-inflammatory anymore. No, this is imbalances, and we want it really minimum effective dose of the minimum number of things. Make sense? And I hope I'm making sense with that, but I'm very passionate about that because I see it happening all the time, and I see those relapses. And the relapses can be, you know, devastating and really hard to recover from.
Yes, I think that's great. Point well taken. So important in working with clients. There are a couple of other questions about bullying and how to work that out, but I know we do also need to move on. So I could perhaps, Cynthia and Shonda, I could perhaps address these with you on Facebook or Messenger if you want to copy and paste that. Or we could talk about that on our practice building success portions, because I think that these are going to be questions everybody has, but I know, you know, Michelle has a great
about billing. Yeah.
Yeah. About billing. And I think I really do think that would be an amazing thing to address, to kind of have
a
theme.
Go ahead and do a short blurb. I think that's good. And I'd rather not skip that. So,
well, one of the things that you can do too is this slide is pretty much going to be evergreen for me, these resources, right? Once you create something, it's pretty much evergreen for your clients. So if you have a 15-minute, this is why I love Zoom. Because they, you know, you can turn that camera on, and even if they don't want you to see them, they can see you. They can see your slides, and you can go through a quick presentation, especially if you're working with a medical profession or professional, because as I mentioned, this is how drug companies will present. This is what they see when they go to a luncheon that's sponsored by a drug company, right? They see a PowerPoint or whatever. So if you create some slides about what you do, basically, if you're having a consultation, you're showing that, and you're saying, okay, this is what we could do in a, you know, 60-minute consultation. If you want me to take your labs, you know, you could even show a client case. This is what I've done with this client. Here's what we're looking at. And then and that we can put into a package, a 90-day package, and that would cost X amount. Mm. I personally prefer a 90-day package because then they're committed right to the program, you know, rather than appointment by appointment. So almost always, you know, you may do that first consultation and then you may up the price of your 90-day package. But say we've had this first consultation and then at the end, obviously you can see what more work needs to be done and what topics we need to research. So let's take the cost of this consultation. Let's put that towards your 90-day package. I'll send you a bill for the remainder, and, you know, we're ready to go. Okay. And then you can include as much email support as you like with that. Again, it's up to you. And
we have a lot of stuff on designing your packages, and one's in the digestion module, and one's in the glucose, the insulin module. And then there's a third one in the practice building success kit on building your packages. So there's three different places that I do it from slightly different angle onto what to include. So what, let me just get it straight. So you meet with this person, you do a comprehensive intake. You obviously took the history and all this. And then you have a second meeting with them where you present these slides of your
file. This would be like the 15 minutes. Not the whole slides. Obviously, these were tailored to him as part of his package. So, but the few slides, you're going to use these evergreen. Once you do work, you know, you want to pull out the pieces that are nonspecific and that can be evergreen so that you can demonstrate what you bring to the table for that client or that relationship with that doctor. And that's what you're going to show in your 15-minute consult. Obviously, you're going to listen to them. You're going to hear where they are. You know, a lot of it, and Chet will talk to you about this too, about rapport and trust with a client. But if she has a client that already trusts her, as she did, because she's an amazing physician, and she refers the client to me, then obviously there's a trust level too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm there to validate that and to say, okay, you know, here's where you are. Here's where I understand you'd like to be. Am I understanding that correctly? Yes, yes. Then great. Here are the steps we're going to take, and here's what this would look like, and here's what working with me can look like, and here's what the investment would be.
I kind of like, I like the idea of having some slides, and I'm just having a little difficulty focusing it because you did such a comprehensive thing here and you obviously knew his history, and this obviously took you more than 15 minutes to do.
What I would do is I'd pull out the slides from this, ones that say ideas for further consideration, and I would pull out some of the ones, you know, it's anonymous, and I'd say, you know, here's something that we found, that I found from a client, and things we're going to look at, and here's some ideas that we came up with, and things that we would look at, and just show them those. You see what I'm saying? Because it's all going to be anonymous.
Yeah, very good.
But that way they see how you work, and they see if it's a good fit.
Absolutely. I think what I want to do is I want to schedule a practice building call with you to go over that with people, to just say, here's some of the things you can
do. Ideas. Yeah.
How you could create this. Because you do such a great job of explaining it and putting it together. And as you were going through this, what I was feeling like was for these calls, these case study calls, to be really, really effective and useful is to ask everybody when you submit a call, not to fill out my form, but to take those questions on the form and create a presentation that you present your case to us, and then I can step in and you can step in and chime in, because it will make it much more real and much more useful. And if anybody has any thoughts on that, I'd love to hear it, because I think that this would be useful. It doesn't have to like be this long thing that Jan did with all the treatment stuff, but if you've got a case and this is where it's at, I want you to present it, and this is going to help you in certainly creating. And it can count towards your certification program, your certification certificate requirements. But also it's something that, like Jan said, if you're able to do this and just take their history form that you've had them fill out, and you could create a little presentation for it, that will help you to present to them and to their doctors if you're working in a community where it says, okay, here's what I think, here's what I'm seeing so far from just what you've told me so far, here's what my suspicions might be, and here's where I want to go with this. And then that would really help us all, I think, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you can be your own case study. Again, you will learn so much when you do this. And by creating these slides, again, you're going to have some of these that you can repurpose. And you can, and the next time you create slides for a client, see, I can just take this template. It's basically a template, and we have another template that's also in your certification area from the first case study, or from the case, original case study that I did for my certification back when it was a different program. But just use that template. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time.
That's right.
You're busy people.
And it will help. What I find is if I'm putting something together like this, so you guys might fill out a form and then we get on a call and I go, oh, what about this? You go, I didn't ask. So if you've got a template to follow, you can say, oh, I haven't asked that yet. I'm going to ask this, you know, so when you're presenting, you're getting that feel of really thinking the case through. And then I'm here to answer questions and to do what I always do, which is look at the labs and all that. No worries. I don't want to change that. But I think that this will make it a much more useful learning tool for everyone.
Yes, and we're getting some great feedback. I'm reading the on your idea, Dr. Rita Marie. Cynthia says, excellent idea. Tony says, Dr. Rita Marie, I think that's great for case study presentations. And you know what? You can team up with others, too, just like Chet and I, you know, sort of teamed up here and people are referring to you. That's part of it. We're going to be having After Shine this year at Dr. Rita Marie's home, a, you know, practitioner mini retreat, right?
Yep.
Well, that's what we're about. Learn, support each other, grow. We're each just one person. And so you see the power of the team and the power of the group to bring in all these different, oh, I hadn't thought of that. And yes. And, you know, what about this? Excellent. It's a think tank. Our clients are the luckiest clients in the world. No, they are, because they get not only our own expertise, but Dr. Rita Marie's input and then input from all of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that concept. So those of you who haven't decided yet, come to Shine and come to the day after at the house. It's a magical thing. Last year we had like 28 people come to my house and it was amazing. And the relationships that I saw form from that were amazing, you know, just start to interact with folks and see what they really do. And it's amazing. So. Awesome. Thank you. So it just Chet. I think I muted Chet because there was some noise coming from her background, but let me get her open again. Chet, I think you can open your own line if you can see it. Otherwise, I'll try to get you open and to see what you wanted to add and perspectives?
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's hugely comprehensive. I don't think I have anything to add. I have a lot to learn from this. So, yeah, I'm just going to see how this goes, and we'll meet up, as Jan said, Jen and Karen, who's a nurse practitioner, and see how to go on from here. The good thing is the father is willing to do everything for for his son. So yeah, we would probably see a lot of improvement. So.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, what I love is how, you know, Chet's willing to not take the MD, medical deity title seriously. Of, I know it all and nobody else can.
Oh, no.
She's like, oh, who can I learn from? How can I learn this if I want to learn this? And just, she doesn't have time in a busy insurance-based practice where they pay her for 15-minute intervals, right, that she –
yeah,
take the time to not only learn this, but to present it and do it this way, and to have somebody as a team member, you know, that she can work with, mm-hmm, is great. And I know that there are other MDs out there like that, or nurse practitioners who are in an earlier stage than you, or don't have the expertise in that particular area that you do, that you can team up with and work with, mm-hmm, their clients. So it just gives, I think, yeah, this whole thing just gives us a whole perspective on what's possible for everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great.
I'm really thrilled.
Great. Super. All right.
Thank you,
Chet. I really appreciate this. And any other questions or comments, go ahead and post them. We're at 15 minutes left in this call. Where's Michelle? Is Michelle on? Because I know you had submitted one before. And I'm almost tempted to say, Michelle, can you go back and just create, you know, like five bulleted slides. And can we, what happened? I missed everybody. There we go. Like five bulleted slides that we can use for you to present your case. Cause I know your daughter's pretty complicated, and using like Jan's thing as a guideline, which of these things have you done, which haven't, and where do you have things? And I don't see Michelle on. So anyway, so I think that's where I would like to leave it right now. And we'll come up with a guideline for you in terms of doing that, like give you the framework. These are the things to do. Here's how to present it on a case and on a slide. And I think I can help you much better, and the group can help you much better, and you're going to get to understand your case much better if you've had to take the time to lay it out like that. It really isn't going to take more than 15, 20 minutes to actually do that. So, any other questions or comments? Nobody? You're all quiet. All right. So I think we will then, somebody opened up. Who's that?
Oh, that was just me. I was just going to say I'm excited to see what everyone else comes up with. Yeah. I think that will be really a great learning. Great learning.
Absolutely. And you're the great model of it. I remember, you know, I'll just tell a story. When Jan applied for her certification, she was in the precursor program before this, which was called Energy Recharge Practitioner System Practitioner Certification or something like that, ERSPC for short, and a few others were in that program. But she took it all the way, and here's their certification requirements, and she did it. But we would create these calls where people would come on and do their case studies, and she was the first one to do it. And I'm like, I taught these people things, but I wonder if they really know this stuff, right? And she got on, and I'm watching, and I'm like, she really gets it. She really knows this stuff. And I was crying. I was literally crying. It was like watching your kid go from dancing in the living room to being on stage at a recital. And you're going, wow, wow. It's like she was my little baby who had just grown up into this amazing practitioner. And Jan came from a place of being a yoga instructor, taking the class because she wanted to learn for her own family, you know, being personal fitness person, but not really having this background. And she just ran with it. And I just want, now I'm going to get teary again. I want you all to just see what potential you all have. You're not all going to be where Jan is right now. Jan's been doing at this for like 5 years of learning and experiencing, but you all have that potential to take wherever you are right now. And I know some of you are already there and doing it, like Laura and Sean, you know, you're doing a lot of this, but you all have that potential and you all have the tools to do this. And I think what a lot of you are missing is the confidence. And when you can build up that confidence and experiment with building the confidence in this very safe environment where we all love you and care about you or get to hold you, then you're going to fly. The difference between me and you is that I am just getting out there and doing it. I'm not afraid anymore. I used to be afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid to like state my passion and get excited about stuff and share. Yeah, I've got 25 years of experience. You may not. And that makes a difference, but it doesn't make as big a difference as what you need. Look what Jan just did. Look what she presented. Look at all the little things she's looking at. Some of the things I hadn't heard of before, right? She taught me things. So we all have that ability to take our area of expertise and teach each other, including me. I learn as much from you as you learn from me. So I thank you. We're changing things. We're changing the world. Having met with Chet for an hour before this on our one-on-one in terms of really having her take this into her practice. And it's like, it's so exciting. And she wants to be in her clinic to be a model for how you can work within the system to bring in this functional medicine, not just sending somebody off to the functional medicine person who just got their IFM certification and now they charge $500 an hour for their services, but to be able to work this in to the system that where people are paying insurance, where people don't have the money other than their $20 copay to do this. They couldn't come up with $500 a visit that they can get in there and do it. Now, there's so much possibility, and I think creating those, and then Chet does have some of those clients who do, and she's running Dutch tests on them, right? And she's creating this medical practice that's going to be the practice of the future, and we're all part of that. Whether you want to have your own thing or whether you want to work in conjunction with someone like Chet or you want to go on and get your medical degree and infiltrate from the inside out, whatever it is, we are changing things so that our next generation and our next generation are going to be so much healthier and more aware. And that's my goal, totally. So thank you all for being here. I'll open up all your lines and anybody else has anything they want to say while I open you, and then we'll close for the day. I just want to thank Jan again so much for what you did and Chet for being like just the beacon in the world. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Way to go. This is so great, Jan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.